From the Word of God, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being roused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. An article I read this week said that biblical literacy is declining in our age. And what he meant was, people don't know what's in this book. And one of the casualties is the appreciation of the very distinct messages that each book of the Bible has. And it's probably true at this time of year more than perhaps at any other time when people are wondering, just where do we find the story of the shepherds and the wise men, the stable, and the flight into Egypt? And some folks are surprised when they open the New Testament and go to the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John, that there's nothing in either one of these about the birth of Jesus. Now, John has it, but in a very different and a very unusual way. There's nothing about the manger. There's nothing about the people who came to worship the babe. And others search in vain through Luke, looking for the wise men. And Herod's orders to kill the newborns. Or they search in Matthew, looking for the shepherds in the stable, getting both of those backwards. And I had to scratch my head as I read that first sentence, biblical inerrancy continues to decline in our modern age. And then as I thought, yeah, he's right. Folks aren't paying attention to the Word of God in so many, many ways. And on Christmas Eve, we love to hear the familiar story from Luke's Gospel about Mary giving birth to the baby Jesus as an angel had told her. And I think about that wonderful Christmas program, Charlie Brown Christmas, when Linus quotes Luke chapter 2. And I read not too long ago that when Charles Schulz was developing that animated program, that folks at CBS, and this was back in the early 1960s, so much, much different than age than today, but still folks at CBS were concerned that it was too religious, that there was too much Christianity in it. And he told them, whatever you do, don't tamper with what Linus says when he quotes from Luke chapter 2. And indeed, that's one of the best parts of of that animated cartoon. And we're charmed by the heavenly hosts and the shepherds. And we remember Christmas plays when little boys dressed in their father's bathrobes with a towel wrapped around their heads were the shepherds as they came down the aisle. And at the stable, in addition to Jesus in our tableau, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men who probably didn't get there until some time later show up as we have them here. And Miss Linda has them off just a little bit, showing they're not quite there yet, but almost to the scene. Now, the story of the Nativity in Matthew highlights another personality. In Luke, it's Mary. But in Matthew, it's Joseph. And it is through Joseph that Jesus' lineage is traced back to King David, if you read beginning at the first of that first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And even back farther to Abraham, who was the one to whom God gave the first covenant. In Matthew's Gospel, it is to Joseph that an angel explains Mary's pregnancy. In Matthew's Gospel, it is Joseph whose character is held up as exemplary. And so it's fitting on this fourth Sunday of Advent that we hear this New Testament other story about the birth of Jesus. Now, to all appearances, Mary should have been stoned to death. That is what the law prescribed. In a case where a woman had sexual relations with a man that was not her husband. And it seemed obvious that if Joseph had not been with her, someone else had. Imagine the shock and the shame and the tremendous heartbreak and dismay that Joseph experienced as he first heard that his wife-to-be was pregnant by another. Hardly the emotions that we usually associate with Christmas. All his hopes, all his dreams were shattered. And Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, a man of the law. But he was also a compassionate man, unwilling to see Mary disgraced. He wasn't going to make her a public scandal by going to the authorities. He wasn't going to put her life at risk by charging her with a crime or asking for a petition of divorce. But a divorce could be worked out another way if the husband took a letter that had nothing more written on it than, "I divorce you," and that phrase three times, and in the presence of two witnesses, handed it to the woman. And that's all that needed to see it, was the man, the woman, and two witnesses. And that's what Joseph decided to do. To divorce Mary quietly, in the presence and knowing of the fewest possible people. But then Joseph had a dream. A dream no less fantastic than the one his namesake had had of old. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid," the angel said in the dream. "Do not be afraid of the gossip. Do not be afraid of having misplaced your affection. Do not even be afraid of discarding the law of Moses. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Joseph did as the angel commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Now, aside from the question of what the law prescribed for adultery, and that's what this amounted to from all reasonable appearances, any man would have had to admit that Joseph's behavior was remarkable. We men are vain and prideful and stubborn by nature. And perhaps you women have noticed that. I don't know what the Hebrew equivalent of machismo is. But Mary's pregnancy would certainly have offended Joseph's. What man would not have been thrown into a rage over such a news about his betrothed? What man would have been credulous enough to have believed the explanation that Joseph received? In a dream. And even if he did accept the explanation as God's own truth, what man would have been willing to brave the gossip and the stares and the lingering doubts that surely would have followed him all of his life? And Matthew could easily have glossed over all of that. Glossed over Joseph's reaction to the news of Mary's pregnancy. But Matthew has a particular interest in telling us about Joseph's reaction. In Luke's gospel, the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid." But in Matthew's gospel, the angel says to Joseph, "Do not be afraid." Mary could not do anything about the fact that she was pregnant, or the fact that the gossipers reckoned that she was a sinful mother of an illegitimate child. But Joseph could have walked away from the crisis without anyone ever knowing, or he could have been deemed a righteous practitioner of the law by exposing Mary. But Joseph did not do either of those things. He trusted God, even in so incredible an explanation and promise as came from an angel in a dream. And we may safely assume he became a model of faithful obedience to God, from whom God's own Son would have learned so much. All this, Matthew adds, took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Even when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Now, the prophet that Matthew's talking about was Isaiah. And the incident that he was talking about concerns Ahaz, the king of Judah. It seems as though at this particular season, as Isaiah is recounting this, Assyria has moved, it seems, to attack Judah. And two different local kings have come to Ahaz and have said to Ahaz, "Join with us, we will go against Assyria and attack them." Well, if you read the book of Isaiah, you'll find out that Isaiah says Ahaz was listening to his advisors. And his advisors said, "Don't listen to those two kings. Align yourself with Assyria that you'll be safe from any possible attack and you won't have to go to war." And Isaiah tells Ahaz, there's not going to be an invasion. Assyria has lined up and it looks like they're coming, but God says they're not coming. And in any event, Ahaz, don't turn towards Assyria. Don't align with them. Don't enter into a relationship with them. Just trust God. And Isaiah in chapter 7 says, "It shall not stand," the Lord declaring the threatened invasion, "and it shall not come to pass. If you do not stand firm in faith," he tells Ahaz, "you will not stand at all." And God even offers to Ahaz a sign and says, "You ask from God whatever sign you want." Isaiah tells King Ahaz, "Whatever sign you want, You ask God, God will give you that sign, and it'll prove to you that Assyria is not coming against you. Don't align yourself with them. And Ahaz, portraying himself as being very righteous and very upright and very holy, says, oh, I won't. In real pious terms, I won't ask the Lord any sign. I don't need a sign. I don't want to put the Lord to the test. And Isaiah, after Ahaz declines the offer, says, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. In other words, you won't ask for one, the Lord's going to give you one. Behold, look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now imagine you're back there at that time and in that scene, and the joy would have been so great when Assyria turns away and there's no battle and God has saved Jerusalem from destruction, that a woman who was with child, perhaps Ahaz's own wife, would name her newborn, God is with us. But Ahaz went his own way, and the result was disaster for Judah. The promise of God's deliverance from the approaching armies seemed too incredible to Ahaz. The enemies were at the gate. The best minds in the kingdom had said, align yourself with Assyria. Trust in the might of Assyria. And as logic dictated, he chose the wisdom of the world over the impossible promises of God. Now, hundreds of years later, we come to Matthew's story. In a little Judean village, another man in the line of David received another promise from God that seems implausible. But being a righteous man, he trusted God's promise. And so he was instrumental in protecting and raising him who would save his people from their sins. It defied all reason what Joseph did. Such an incredible promise. His hope in God transcended all the doubts that he naturally would have had about Mary and her child. And when she bore a son, Joseph named him Jesus, which means salvation. As the angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. The story of Christmas is a message of faith, of trust against long odds, of hope that cast out fear, that the Savior of the world should be an infant born into a carpenter's family in an insignificant little place called Bethlehem. Incredible! That the Son of God should live with common people and serve their common needs and forgive their common sins. Unbelievable! That the hope of the world narrowly averted a scandalous birth and a shameful label. Amazing. In Isaiah's account, the literal translation is a young woman. But in the New Testament, the writers go past that and say, behold, a virgin shall be with child. And you can debate the Hebrew, you can argue the Greek all you want, but when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she put an end to the argument once and for all. Gabriel says, you're going to have a baby. And she says, wait a minute, Buster. I have never been with a man. How can this be? And she declares once and for all, I am a virgin. And the word of Isaiah comes true. God certainly expects a lot of us by asking us to trust and to hope, to trust beyond reason and to hope beyond doubt, to trust beyond human contracts and to hope beyond human accomplishments, to trust beyond sayings and savings and insurance policies, to hope beyond the American dream in the next election, to trust beyond human senses, human logic, and human satisfactions, and to hope beyond worldly reservations, fortune, and reputation. The message of Christmas is that the promises of God are true, and the promises of God are for you and for me. Incredible, unbelievable, amazing. God expects a lot of us by asking us to trust and to hope. But see what an enchanting starting place God gives us. Listen to it one more time. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And Joseph called the baby's name Jesus. Amen.